facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Terrific Tuesday to you. So glad that you're with me. We got a good one brewing today. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free number to call. 888-914-9149. It's coming out of producer Lucas's salary. Paying for that phone line, so you might as well use it. 888-914-9149. You can also tweet at me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is as follows, at Cale Clark Show. Follow that one too. And we got an email address, just like most of you do. We still check email every day. K-L-C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. Lots of good stuff coming up today on the show. Later on, the Major League Baseball playoffs are beginning tonight. Did you know that some Major League umpires have banded together to make a call for Jesus and support each other in their faith? It's kind of a cool story in the New York Times. Going to share that with you later on in the program. Plus, it's St. Faustina's feast day, and I'll tell you how that saint got me in a little bit of hot water with her quite heated vision of hell. It actually got me fired. I'll talk about that later. And first of all, though, it's 10 years. I can't even believe this. Today is 10 years. It's the 10-year anniversary of the death of Apple founder Steve Jobs, who really changed the world so much with all the incredible inventions from the Apple computer to the iPhone. Now, he wasn't Catholic, not by any long shot, but I do think we Catholics can learn a lot from Steve Jobs. I'm going to be sharing with you top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs that Catholics can learn from. It's kind of a cool list. I think he would have made a great Catholic. Certainly pray for the repose of his soul. Hope he is in heaven. And again, he was not at all someone who would identify as Catholic. And shortly after he passed away, a couple years after he passed away, Brett Robinson wrote a little piece, and he actually wrote a book about this. He wrote a book called Appletopia, Media Technology and the Religious Imagination of Steve Jobs. And he used to, I don't know if he still does this, but he was a visiting professor of marketing at Notre Dame. And he wrote a little piece called The Faux Religion of Steve Jobs. And he just, you know, as a disclaimer, he said, look, and I know a lot of people are thinking that he was into religion. He did, in fact, have some good sensibilities. We'll talk about that. He also had some personal issues as well. And if you've read the biography of Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson, you know this. Anybody who parks in handicapped parking spaces, I think, has something clearly wrong with them, number one. But he reminds us, Brett Robinson said that, don't forget, Apple was conceived as a company back in the heady days of the countercultural movement. Steve Wozniak was, he's very beloved in the technology world. He was the guy who kind of founded Apple with Steve, and he was more the engineer. Steve was more the brains behind the operation in terms of the direction, the marketing of the company. But they used to hack into AT&T's long-distance phone lines from their dorm room at Berkeley in the 1970s. And they thought that was a lot of fun. They got to make free long-distance phone calls. Was it stealing? Probably, yes. At any rate, New Age experimentation was all over the place. Social unrest, a lot like today in a certain sense. Idealistic youth. And organized religion was not something that students at Berkeley were very fond of. And in fact, one of the first things that Jobs and Wozniak did once they got their phone hacking device working, they actually called the Vatican and they tried to get the Pope on the line. And they kind of chickened out because they actually got the Pope's secretary on the phone, his personal secretary. But as soon as he answered, they hung up on him before he was actually going to connect the call to the Holy Father. I don't know who they introduced themselves as, but at any rate, Steve Jobs just loved that prank. He talked about that one all the time. And of course, the Apple logo. Now, obviously, we know that there's been a lot of speculation. Where does that come from? Is this a reference to the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden? It's not. It has a reference to Isaac Newton, of course, and the Apple. But a 2007 iPhone ad, I don't know if you remember this, when the iPhone first came out, it was dubbed the Jesus phone, which was obviously a little blasphemous, but maybe a lot blasphemous. But there was an ad that came out in 2007, and the tagline of the ad was, touching is believing. And it really was kind of a parody of the Apostle Thomas wanting to, you know, is Jesus real? Is he really resurrected? Is he physically resurrected? Yes, he is. Touch and see. And so apparently, as Brett Robinson says, iPhone apostles also needed the same reassurance that this phone was actually real. It was so great for its time. Well, actually, in terms of his religious background, Steve Jobs left a Protestant congregation when he was a young man. He really went into Eastern spirituality. And he actually went to a Zen monastery in Northern California. He actually thought about becoming a Buddhist monk rather than continuing on in the technology field. But a Zen priest that he knew told him, well, you can actually do both. You can still kind of be Zen and be into tech. And so he really tried to combine computing physics with metaphysics. And unfortunately, he went down the path of Eastern spirituality. And really, this kind of got into the products of Apple. A lot of this Zen idea of minimalism got into a lot of his thinking. And there's a famous sort of philosophy of Apple computer, which is trying to be at the intersection of technology and the humanities, technology and the liberal arts. And that's really where they tried to be, the space that they tried to occupy. And so at any rate, that's kind of what, where he was coming from religiously. He also, unfortunately experimented with, psychedelic drugs, LSD, and he claims to have had religious experiences there. And at any rate, a lot of people who follow Apple in many ways seem like they're religious zealots with their still, you know, devotion to the product. I use the product because I think it's a great product myself. I'm an iPhone user, but I'm a Mac user. But, you know, the cult-like atmosphere around it, I could probably live without. Well, one other thing about Jobs that he did, and this is kind of where, again, he was on the right track in a lot of ways. And I think if someone could have evangelized him, I think he would have been an incredible Catholic. One of the things that he refused to allow pornographic apps in the App Store. And people pressed him on this. They really put a lot of heat on him for this and tried to make this happen. He would always refuse. And in the biography of Jobs by Walter Isaacson, there is an anecdote about this. People would email, and he would actually respond to his emails, even though he was the CEO of Apple. He didn't have much time. Somehow, random customers would find his email address, or maybe they'd guess his email address, and they'd email him. And sometimes he would respond to them at like 3 o'clock in the morning, just with these one-liners. And he responded to one particular customer who wanted him to allow pornographic apps in the App Store. He said this, quote, "We believe we have a moral responsibility to keep porn off of the iPhone. Folks who want porn can buy an Android." End of quote. So all you Android fanboys out there, there you go. Ouch. So people really took umbrage with Jobs about this. And there's this guy named Ryan Tate, who was the editor of a gossip site called ValleyWag. And that was kind of a gossip tech site that dealt with what was going on in Silicon Valley. Obviously the headquarters of Apple and a lot of other major tech companies. And so this guy, Ryan Tate, he was having a cocktail one night, and he was kind of feeling a little combative. And so he emailed Jobs and said, you've got too much control over the App Store. You should be allowing these pornographic apps in the store. And he said, Bob Dylan was somebody who Steve Jobs really admired. If Bob Dylan was 20 years old today, how would he feel about your company? Would he think that the iPad or the iPhone had the faintest thing to do with revolution? Revolutions are about freedom. Well, a few hours later, to Ryan Tate's surprise, Steve Jobs actually responded with an email of his own. It was after midnight, and he simply said, yep, freedom. Freedom from programs that steal your private data. Freedom from programs that trash your battery. Freedom from porn. Yep, freedom. The times, they are a-changin'. And some traditional PC folks feel like their world is slipping away. It is. End of quote. And so he started talking about some other tech stuff. And then he went back to this whole, Jobs went back in the email to this whole porn thing. And he said, you know what? The other guy replied back to Jobs and said this, you know what, I don't want freedom from porn. Porn is just fine, and I think my wife would agree. And here's how Jobs responded to that. He said, well, you might care more about porn when you have kids. It's not about freedom. It's about Apple trying to do the right thing. And you can read about that in the biography of Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson, which came out some time ago. And so he was on the right track there. Obviously, it is very much against human dignity. It's anti-woman. It turns people into objects. There's nothing about it that helps family, despite the fact that this guy's wife was okay with it. It is not an assist to a loving relationship. It hurts society. It hurts women. It hurts children. It hurts men. And Jobs understood that. And he didn't want the garbage of the porn industry dumped onto iPhones. So we commend him for that. Commend him for that. And Jeff Geerling wrote a piece about that. That's where I got that anecdote from. So great job on that, Jeff. So yeah, let's get into the top 10 quotes from Jobs that we as Catholics can really glom onto and learn something from. Now, let's check this out. And you're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149, if you want to call in. So again, Steve Jobs, business titan, co-founder of Apple Computer with Steve Wozniak, creator of the iPhone, the iMac, all these essential items in a lot of people's lives, one of the most valuable companies on earth. Here's the top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs and how we can kind of apply this to our Catholic life. Number one, this is on following your passion. He said this, quote, your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. End of quote. So, you know, he's right on with that. Our work is definitely a big part of our life. And we need to live it well. We need to live that aspect of our life really well. And if you can find something that A, you love to do, and B, you're good at, I mean, that's pretty good sweet spot there. That's a pretty good sweet spot. But obviously some of us, you know, work jobs that maybe we're good at and maybe we don't love so much, or maybe we wish we were doing something else. Maybe we love it, but we're not so good at it. Hey, I'd love to play in the NBA, but it's not going to happen. So what we need to do is we need to really pick something that we can be good at. I think that's something to think about. But there are a lot of jobs that need to be done, and we can still find joy in that. And we can find joy through our why. Why are we doing this? We're doing this out of love for God and love for other people. And we can offer our work to God. And this is what St. Joseph did. He had Jesus in the carpentry shop with him. And so, well, it's easy for him to think about God while he's working because God's right there. But for us, it's even better. Because think about it. If you're in a state of grace, Christ is living within you. So Christ is working with you and in you. That's pretty amazing to think about. St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so St. Jose Maria Escrivá, and he was the anniversary of his canonization is tomorrow. He taught so much about work, and he said that really work is the hinge of our spirituality in so many ways, because we need to learn how to sanctify our work, offer it up, make it holy. Any honest job can be sanctified. And he said, we need to sanctify our work. We need to sanctify ourselves in our work. Our work can be a means for us to become closer to God. And we can sanctify others through our work. We can help other people come closer to God through the way we do our work and the way we carry ourselves. And people are going to pick up on this. And hopefully they'll be honoring to God. So that's something we can kind of a segue we can make from this quote. Okay, number two. These are the top 10 things that Catholics can learn from Steve Jobs. Here's another quote from Jobs. This is about finding your path in life. He says, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. End of quote. That's very true. Hindsight's always 20/20. And sometimes when we look back on our lives, we can kind of say, okay, I see the plan that God had there. But we don't know the future. We need to plan. We have the ability to plan. That's one of the things about being human. We can think in that sense. We can plan for the future, and we should try. But the Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the will of God that prevails. And so we have to say, if it be your will, Lord, we will do this and that and the other thing. This is what it says in the letter of James. Come now, you who say, we're going to go to this city or that city and do business and do this and be successful. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might not live to see tomorrow. So you should say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that or the other thing. And so that's a great attitude to have. But it's also a good reminder that God's providence does guide us. And so he always wants to use the circumstances of our lives to cause us to reach out to him. This is something that St. Paul talked about a lot in his letters and in his great sermon in Athens in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 17. He says, God determined the exact places where we should live. In other words, your neighbor's not an accident. You might not get along with them, but God put them there for a reason. The job that you have, the guy in the next cubicle at work, no accidents here. Why did he do all this? And St. Paul says, so that people might reach out and find him. And so God does use the tapestry of our lives, and sometimes we can only see that in retrospect. All right, we're going to continue on with this top 10 list on this anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the death of Steve Jobs. We're going to talk about things that Catholics can learn from him. He would have made a good Catholic. He had a great work ethic. The way that he made these computers, he always made sure that iPhones, iMacs, whatever, if you take them apart, they are just as beautiful on the inside as they are on the outside. They're not like this mess of wires and chips. And he learned this from his dad, because one day he was painting a fence when he was a kid. This is in the biography as well by Isaacson. He was painting a fence, and he did just a terrible job on the other side of the fence, the part that nobody could see. And his dad found out about it. He said, what are you doing? And he said, well, no one's going to see this part, Dad. You'll know what kind of job you did. You need to do a really good job. Even if nobody can see it, you'll know. And we can say this too when it comes to our lives. You know, God knows what's on the inside. And so got to make that orderly as well. Jesus says, hey, clean the inside of the dish and the outside will be clean too. But this whole idea of that's really work done. He wasn't doing it necessarily for the glory of God. But if we can like do those details like that for the glory of God, that's a great insight. That's a great insight. All right, we're going to do one more. This is number three. This is about simplicity. We're doing a top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs that we as Catholics can kind of glom onto and learn from. This is about the merits of simplicity. He says, simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean to make it simple. But it's worth it in the end, because once you get there, you can move mountains. Simple can be harder than complex. That's true in a lot of ways. God himself is very simple. You say, well, what are you talking about? God's very complex. Trinity, I can't understand it. No, God is simple. God is deep, no question about that, but he's also very simple because God is one. And so, yeah, I think simplicity is good. Simplicity is good. I'm a simple-minded person, so I need simple and clear directions. All right, we're going to come back after a short break here on the K.O. Clark Show. If you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back, 1-888-914-9149. We're going through the top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs, who passed away on this day 10 years ago, that Catholics can really learn from. Interesting dude, to be sure. And we're going to go to the phones right now. Bob is calling from Chicago. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Cale, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Hey, great, thanks. You know what? When Steve Jobs, like, I think it was 2 months before he died, 3 months before he died, you know, I sent him a copy of John Paul II's book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope.
Wow.
And I sent him a prayer card, and I said, at this time, he wasn't a saint yet. I don't think John Paul II was a saint yet. And I said, he just needs one more miracle. Why not you? You
know? Wow, that's a great one.
And so
it's a great line.
I always thought, like, I always hoped that, like, I FedExed it to him, in his, but, you know, it was close to the end, so I don't know if he got it, but my hope is that he got it. And I heard his last words. His last word was, wow. So I'm hoping that, you know, it was a good wow, like, yeah, wow, I'm in heaven. Or even if it's kind of a so-so wow, you know, maybe the devil overthrew the cutoff man and he slid into purgatory. So that's my hope, you know.
Hey, Bob, that's amazing. So did you send the book to One Infinite Loop out in Cupertino, the headquarters of Apple?
I looked up the headquarters of Apple, and I sent it there. I sent it like, you know, 2-day mail, so hoping he thought it was from somebody important and he'd open it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, if this guy's sending it express, I better open this thing.
Exactly. What was in it was important, but the guy who sent it wasn't important. You know what
well,
I mean?
We're all important, Bob. We're all important. That's one of the things that he says, actually.
Right.
We're going to actually talk about that in a minute, but that's a great call, Bob. I really appreciate that. And I like what you said, and I was going to mention this too, that that on his deathbed, and it's really, his death in a lot of ways was tragically avoidable, because he went for all these experimental cancer treatments, like herbal remedies or whatever, and if he had just gotten the stock treatment, he had an excellent chance of survival. And it's just, he who knows, he may be alive today if he had done that, but that's not what happened, obviously. I often think how he would react to a lot of the stuff that's going on these days, especially in the world of tech. But I'd love to hear his thoughts on Facebook and everything that's going on with them and the big outage yesterday and testifying before the Senate, this Facebook whistleblower. Anyways, all that sort of stuff. But as you mentioned, Bob, when he was on his deathbed, he sat up in bed, apparently, and started saying, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. And nobody knows exactly what he saw, but whatever he did see blew him away. Now, some people use that to say, oh, he must have been going straight to heaven. Well, we don't know that for a fact, because one thing that the scriptures do tell us, one thing the Bible says, is that we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that means everybody. So even those who aren't going to spend eternity with him, unfortunately, they're going to have to appear there as well. And so sometimes when you hear about these near-death experiences, or NDEs as they're called, and there's been a lot of literature about them, a lot of people say, well, you know, I hear music that was so beautiful. There's nothing on earth like it. I saw these colors that I've never seen before. I was going up to God's throne, and wow, saw this light. You see all this sort of stuff. There are all these things that are common to all these near-death experiences. But don't forget, that doesn't mean that you're going to get in, right? So maybe they're just on the way to the judgment seat, and then they're going to go somewhere else. Let's pray not, But we just have to be careful with some of the near-death experiences stuff. And Bob, I know you're not saying it's a guarantee that he's in there, but we do need to pray for the repose of his soul. And I think it's awesome that you care enough about him to send him that book, because here's the thing. If, let's say, he had become a Catholic, that would have made an incredible impact on a lot of people. Everybody's soul is worth more than the entire world. But because of the outsized influence that some people have, they can really get the message out a lot quicker than other people can. And so, yeah, so that's awesome, Bob. Really, thank you for that call. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
You got it. Call anytime. That was Bob from Chicago. So, yeah, that's that was a great call by Bob. And let's go back to that top 10 list of Steve Jobs quotes and how we can kind of glom onto them as Catholics. Well, the next one is about excellence, striving for excellence. He said this. This is quote number 4. Be a yardstick of quality. Some people aren't used to an environment where excellence is expected. That's a good one. That's a good one. Obviously, we have to. This is part of sanctifying our work, is doing the best possible job that we can. And in the Old Testament, you could not offer to God a crappy sacrifice. You know, like, oh, okay, here's my sheep that's kind of half dead, and, you know, he's got a broken leg, but here you go, God, you know, that's the offering I'm going to bring to the temple. No, you'd bring the very best that you had. And so we've got to give the Lord our best as well when it comes to our work. So that, you know, pushing for excellence is a really good one. The next one, number 5, this is on going for it, on going for it. This is Steve Jobs on going for it. Quote, remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. End of quote. That's a really powerful quote. I really like that quote from Jobs. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking that you have something to lose. So many people, they don't go for it in life because they're afraid of what other people might think. They're afraid of being vulnerable. They're afraid of putting themselves out there. Let's say you want to make a YouTube video. Well, you don't, because you know how bad the comment section is going to be. There'll be all kinds of people saying all kinds of nasty things. And you say, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. You know, they always say the bottom half of the internet is not worth reading. The comments, especially on certain sites like YouTube, they can be really brutal, really nasty. There's some really nasty people out there and some really hurting people out there. That's obviously coming from, a lot of this stuff is coming from a place of hurt, confusion. But there's also, you know, like the Joker said, you know, no, Alfred said this in Batman Begins. No, that was Dark Knight. Some men want to just watch the world burn, you know, talking about the Joker. That was a horrible Alfred impersonation. Sorry to Michael Caine. But anyways, this whole idea of human respect, right? We give into that. What will they say? What will they think? And this can play into our faith too. We often don't want it to be known. Hey, I'm a Catholic. Well, have you not read the news? Didn't you hear about what happened in France and all this scandal? And so we tend to want to hide it. And so, yeah, I just think, you know, God may have put something on your heart that he wants you to do, but you're scared. We only have one shot at this, folks, so we don't want to die with regret. So I think that's a great quote from Jobs, and he certainly went for it in his life, in his way. All right, so quote number 6, top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs that we can glom onto as Catholics and learn from. This one is on daring to disturb the universe. Here's the quote. Everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. Once you learn that, you'll never be the same again. End of quote. Everything around you was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change things. You can influence things. That's really important. That sometimes we look at some of these guys like Jobs and other people that are leaders in the fields of business, entertainment, even in the church, and say, wow, this guy's amazing, or this girl's amazing. They go to the bathroom too, just like you and me. You know, they're human, they're people. And just the belief that you can do something, that you can make a difference, and that you've got skills and talents too, and that we're all equally valuable in the eyes of God. And maybe the world tends to value certain people more than others because of the size of their pocketbook or how many Instagram followers they have or whatever. When Instagram goes down, there's no followers. So the important thing is that we're all created in the image of God. We have this human dignity, and I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. But we all are extremely valuable. We're of infinite value when it comes to our souls. And so that's a good thing. This is the opposite of giving in to human respect. This is, you know, we do respect people. We do treat them with the dignity that they deserve. But not with obsequiousness, you know, and there's just a lot of this stuff going on, especially in the church, and I think it's a good antidote. So it's not for other people to live their, you know, only other people can live life like, no, you can, you've got something that God wants you to do, and you've got talents and skills, and you should be, and you're a son or a daughter of God. That should really fill your life with a lot of pride, and in a good sense, not a bad pride. But knowing that God is our Father, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So that was on disturbing the universe. Okay, the 7th quote, top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs that Catholics can learn from. This is about innovation. This is about innovation. Here's what he said, quote, I'm as proud of many of the things that we haven't done. He's talking about Apple, of course. I'm as proud of many of the things we haven't done as the things we have done. Innovation is saying no to 1,000 things. Innovation is saying no to 1,000 things. I think that's a great quote. And you've got to learn how to say no. And in fact, St. Jose Maria Escrivá in The Way, point number 5, it's a very simple point, but he said, get used to saying no. And we talked about this a few days ago on the show. Every time that you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. You're saying no to something else you could have done. And very often we get into the habit of people pleasing, doing things that other people want us to do, not necessarily what God wants us to do. And you've got to say no to some things, to do the things, to say yes to the things that really count. So we have to be really smart with how we use our time, especially knowing that we only have one life to live, and so we can't waste it. And so it's just so much wisdom there in learning how to say no. It's not a bad thing. You have to say no. Hey, Adam and Eve got in a lot of trouble because they didn't say no, right? I think that's a good one. So that was number 7. All right, this is number 8 in the top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs. This is about accomplishments, about admiring your accomplishments, maybe a little bit too much. He said, quote, "I think if you do something and it turns out pretty good, then you should go do something else wonderful, not dwell on it for too long. Just figure out what's next." End of quote. Kind of makes me think of something Tom Brady said, the famous football quarterback. He said, look, you know, when I'm in the huddle in a game, my teammates don't care that I've won 7 Super Bowls. That's all in the past. It doesn't matter. They need me to do it now. and I've got to play well now in this particular game. And so sometimes we can rest on our laurels a little bit in life. He didn't do that. He could have easily just stopped working. I mean, he created Apple. Obviously, he got kicked out of Apple. You might know the story about that. He came back. But before he came back, he didn't have to come back. He had Pixar. I mean, he was doing great with that. People forget he was kind of behind Pixar. But he wanted to do more. And he was always looking for the next thing. And we should look for that in our spiritual lives, too. What's the next step towards becoming a saint? Because even the greatest of saints needed to take that next step until they drew their last breath. There's always one more step. We've got to get closer and closer to God. So that's really important. All right, the next one, point number 9. This is the top 10 quotes from Steve Jobs that Catholics can learn from. This is about little things. He said, quote, "Things don't have to change the world to be important. Things don't have to change the world to be important." So that's really a quote about the little things. And I think this is something also that St. Jose Maria talked about in The Way, point 19. He said this, very, very down-to-earth stuff here. He said, willpower, a very important quality. Don't despise little things, for by the continual practice of denying yourself again and again in such things, which are never futile or trivial, with God's grace you will add strength and resilience to your character. In that way, you will first become master of yourself, and then a guide, a chief, a leader, to compel and to urge and inspire others with your word, with your example, with your knowledge, and with your power. So that's a really good quote too, because little things are never little. All things are big with God. And, you know, you look at a great building, it's made of a whole bunch of little bricks, you know, put together. And all of them are important. All of them are useful. And so you can build this incredible spiritual tower in your life with little things. And so, and maybe it's little mortifications that you have sprinkled throughout the day. Maybe it's, you might not butter your toast one morning or something and say, I'm offering this as a sacrifice. Nobody else knows you're doing it. You're not making a big show of it. But it's a little thing, and it's part of how you master yourself. And St. Jose Maria says you got to do that. You got to first master yourself, and then you can become a guide to others. And yeah, I know. And you might say, well, there are doctors who smoke. They know it's bad for you. And your doctor can be right about that, even though they're not living the life. But obviously, if you're setting the example, that's even more powerful. So that's important right there as well. And then the last one, this is the last quote from Steve Jobs, the top 10 things that Catholics can learn from Steve Jobs, these top 10 quotes. This one is about being called crazy. How many times have you been called crazy for being a Catholic? Here's the quote. "The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do." End of quote. The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. And a lot of people, again, they think that we're crazy for being Catholic. But another thing, this wasn't in the top 10 quotes, but he always talked about you got to try to make a dent in the universe. You got to make a dent in the universe. That's what he wanted his life to be all about. Well, let's make a dent supernaturally in the universe for God. Again, back to St. Jose Maria. This is also from The Way, point number 1. It's the very first point in that book of spiritual maxims. Really good stuff to meditate on. He said, don't let your life be barren. Be useful. Make yourself felt. Shine forth with the torch of your faith and your love. With your apostolic life, wipe out the trail of filth and slime left by the corrupt sowers of hatred. And set aflame all the ways of the earth with the fire of Christ that you bear in your heart. So yeah, don't let your life be sterile. Don't let your life be useful. Make a dent in the universe for Christ. Make your faith known. Make it felt. Shine forth. Don't keep your light under a bushel basket, as Jesus said. And so we can do a lot to wipe out the trail of filth and slime in the world. And there's a lot of it. Believe me, it's all over the place. And so we can clean it up and we can make a difference for Christ. So yeah, and you know what? If you think you can do it, if you allow Christ to do it, Christ, we know he can do it, so we need to let him do it through us. And that's so much about, you know, really what the spiritual life is all about. It's just getting out of the way and letting Christ work through you. As St. Paul said, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is no longer I who live, it is Christ who lives within me. So I think there's a lot of truth there from these quotes. And yeah, I think he would have been great. He would have been a great Catholic. And we do pray for the repose of his soul. Steve Jobs died 10 years ago on this day. Got to take a quick break on the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149. Be right back.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
All right, final segment on the show, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. And speaking of the phones, let's go there right now. Bill is calling from Lake Forest, California. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
All right. Oh, very good. I was thinking, since it's the Feast of St. Faustina today, and in addition to the prayers we pray for Steve Jobs, what about if we pray a chapter of the Divine Mercy? Because for God, it's just one eternal bound. Just maybe through that chapter, the graces will flow to Steve Jobs' soul, and he'll be given the eternal life.
That's a great idea. That's an awesome idea. As you mentioned, Bill, today, of course, being the feast day of St. Faustina, and yeah, we should pray for him, for the repose of his soul, and also for all the departed, the holy souls in purgatory. I think it's an excellent idea. Really, really appreciate that call. Bill calling from Lake Forest, California, and of course out in California. Call anytime, Bill. That's, of course, where Steve Jobs kind of became a legend with Apple in California. And speaking of Sister Faustina, of course, it's her feast day today. And now is probably a good time to talk about how she got me in trouble. And, you know, it was well worth it. It was definitely worth it in the end. With her teaching on what she saw, the visions of hell that she was granted. Now, of course, these are private revelations. Catholics are not bound to believe any private revelation, even the approved ones, even the apparitions, like, for example, Fatima or Lourdes. If you don't buy into those, you could still be a faithful Catholic as long as you believe all the Marian teachings. Do I think they happen? Yeah, I do. I do. I think there's great evidence for them. But that's the nature of private revelations. In the Catholic Church, we only have to believe public revelation that's available to all people. But the Church has said, yeah, some of these private revelations are, in fact, in their judgment, in the Church's judgment, legit and worthy of belief. And one of the things that St. Faustina said, and she, you know, don't forget, she's a canonized saint here, and her message is so key for our times. She had this kind of tour of the afterworld. Tour of the next life. She got a tour of heaven and a tour of hell. And I've told this story before, but I got fired from doing these retreats for high school students years and years ago because I talked about this. And I find kids are kind of interested in this stuff. Like they want to know whether there is really a hell. They kind of know when people kind of fudge it. And kids have this kind of sixth sense, even if they're not practicing the faith, they kind of know when someone is pulling the wool over their eyes, to put it nicely. They kind of know that's not what the Church teaches. When someone tries to say, oh, there is no such thing as an eternal hell, well, that's kind of what happened to me. I was going through Sister Faustina's teachings on hell, and let me just read them to you just really, really briefly. This is the vision that she had, and I know this is not the best motivation for people necessarily the best motivation is just pure love of God. But I have to admit, in my case, what drove me back to God was realizing that, yes, there is a hell. And if I don't, you know, come back to Christ, you know, I might wind up there. Not the best motivation, fear of punishment, but it does work. It's a starting point. And then we can get somewhere else. So this is what St. Faustina said in her diary. She said, "I, Sister Faustina Kowalska, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things that I saw, but I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieved that there is a hell." End of quote. That's from her diary number 741. That last part is really crucial. Most of the people in hell, they didn't think that there was a hell when they were on this earth. And it's very much like that famous quote from The Usual Suspects: "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist." And so a lot of people think, you're surprised of their life, of their afterlife. And so here's a little bit more from Sister Faustina. She wrote, "Today I was led by an angel to the chasms of hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw. The first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God." And I remember Peter Kreeft writing about this. He said, imagine if somebody offered you this deal. You can have all the wealth, the riches of the universe. You can have every pleasure you could ever imagine. But here's the catch. You'll never see the face of God. Would you take that deal? You should always say no. And just that should even send a chill through you, this concept that I'll never see the face of God. So the first torture is the loss of God. The second is, according to Sister Faustina, perpetual remorse of conscience. The third is that one's condition will never change. There is no second chance after death. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. A terrible suffering, since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. So again, very often we hear descriptions of the afterlife, descriptions of hell. And a lot of what she says, actually, it's kind of interesting, because in some sort of apocryphal Jewish works that never made it into the scriptures, people get these tours of the afterlife. A lot of it's very similar to what Sister Faustina says. I find that really interesting. Apocalyptic literature that's out there that she may or may not have known anything about. But this whole idea, whatever your description is, people talk about fire, there's something worse even than the physical suffering. And by the way, even people in hell are going to experience the resurrection too. There's this double resurrection of the godly and of the unrighteous. It's all over the scriptures. Kreeft says there's something far worse than physical suffering, though. It is spiritual suffering. That's why when you get a piece of bad news, there's been a terrible accident, people will punch a wall or they'll beat their head against something and they want to distract themselves from the spiritual pain with the physical pain. So there's something far worse, and that is the spiritual pain. The fifth torture is, according to Sister Faustina, continual darkness, a terrible suffocating smell, and despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and their own. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is horrible despair, hatred of God, vile words, curses, and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together, but that is not the end of the sufferings. There are special tortures designed for particular souls, the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which it has sinned. And I remember reading about this in the apocalyptic literature as well. And I'm not saying, and again, this isn't sacred scripture or anything like that, but there's some mystical tours of the afterlife that you read about where people say, oh, liars are sort of, you know, hung by their tongues or something like that. So I don't know whether that's exactly what she's referring to, something like that. But here's the bottom line. She says, I would have died. She says there are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if the omnipotence of God had not supported me. It's a lot like the children of Fatima, and when they got a vision of hell as well, the same thing almost happened to them. They would have died on the spot. And they said they would have died except for the fact that the lady, and that was, of course, the Blessed Virgin, had told them, don't worry, you are going to go to heaven. So you're going to make it. You don't need to worry about this. But it's still pretty. This is what you need to pray about. You need to save sinners. You need to pray for the salvation of souls, because this is real. And so just to finish up with Sister Faustina, she wrote this, and this is again in entry number 741 in her diary. Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use of to sin. I am writing this at the command of God, so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell, or that nobody has ever been there, and so no one can say what it was like. How terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them. Oh, my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world amidst the greatest sufferings than offend you by the least sin. And so those are very powerful words from St. Faustina. So we do need to pray for conversions. We need to pray also for ourselves, that we stay in God's grace and keep short accounts with him, get to confession when we need to. That's what it's all about. We have to do that. And so these are the kinds of things I used to talk about with the students on the retreat. Well, anyways, there's this one kid that was there, fell asleep somehow during my presentation. I can't imagine that would ever happen, but hopefully you're not asleep right now. But if you are, you don't know what I'm saying anyways. But anyway, so he happened to wake up right when I was talking about this. And so he missed the part where, yeah, I did talk about God's grace, God's mercy, his greatest attribute. He wants to save people from this. That's the whole raison d'etre of Christ coming to earth and going to the cross. He doesn't want anybody to go there, and he's trying to prevent this at all costs. So the kid missed all the stuff about mercy. He wakes up during this part, freaks out. He never told me this. He never talked to me about it, but he went home and told his dad. His dad turned out to be an ex-Catholic priest, and he called the school and just like gave the principal an earful. How could you hire this guy, you know, Clark, to come and talk to us? Blah, 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 blah. Don't you know that the church got rid of hell with Vatican II? Oh, really? So, you know, this poor guy probably had some maybe deleterious formation himself. And obviously he would have been a priest during the sort of crazy, you know, heady days of the 60s, a lot of the misunderstandings about doctrine that crept in. Unfortunately, misunderstandings of Vatican II, misunderstandings of church teachings. Folks, the church never got rid of this teaching. They can't, because this is reality. This is the teaching of Christ. And so that was a sad story. So I never got to, I got fired from that one. But hey, there you have it. And you might disagree. You might say, oh, don't tell kids about stuff like this. But I don't know. They were, most of them were pretty into it. And it might have helped them to change their lives. So I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all. And hopefully you haven't regretted listening to this program. Once again, this has been the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, produced by Lucas Holt. Patrick Alog took your phone calls today. We didn't get to the umpire story, but we'll do that tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow. It's a pretty good one. It's pretty cool. With the baseball playoffs starting tonight, Yankees, Red Sox coming up. And the Dodgers, Dodger fan out in California. How do you feel about the fact your team won 106 games and might be out after tomorrow night? Man, the Dodgers didn't even win their division. The Giants won 107 games. Unbelievable. Anyway, so the Dodgers have to play the Cardinals now. Hottest team in baseball. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be fun too. And it's been a lot of fun being here with you. Producer Lucas, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, Cale, today is World Teachers Day. Yeah. So quick shout out to all the teachers out there who are grinding and making it happen, especially in these times. So thank you.
We need teachers. We need teachers. And as Pope Paul VI said, we need even more than teachers. We need witnesses. We need teachers who are witnesses. And we teach through our witness of the Catholic faith. And hey, hopefully we all learned something today. I know I sure did. Thanks for taking the time, spending it with me. We'll be back tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.